Everyone, welcome to the SweatNet Be Amazing podcast, where we share stories of amazing women living in our communities. I'm your host, Seal, and today my guest is Megan Thilnow. She is an accomplished athlete, coach, certified USAT, Ironman, AFC, and RRCA, and she has a passion to help people reach their potential in mind and body. Welcome to the show, Megan.
Thanks so much for having me.
No, I'm so glad you're here. And a side note, your twin sister is Kelly.
That's right.
Just so everybody's kind of clued into what's going on. We had Kelly on our earlier episode, and now it's Megan's turn. So I'm totally psyched you're here. And I've had the privilege to get to know you a little bit because I'm going to your run class on Tuesday nights, which is like pushing me like crazy. But I'm going to be so much better for it. Okay, so let's jump right in. I know that you grew up playing soccer, basketball, softball, tennis, and gymnastics. Do you believe that playing all of those sports, is that what helped you become a Division I college tennis player?
Yeah, I think playing all the different sports really prepared me to play college tennis because I just had a really wide range of skill sets. Like I learned strength from gymnastics, endurance from soccer. I had to learn like fast twitch, you know, muscle development. I had the slow twitch muscle development, and I learned like hand-eye coordination from softball and basketball, and just playing a bunch of team sports. It was priceless because it taught me a lot about how to be a good teammate and how to be selfless, you know, on the field or on the court, and yeah, just how to handle pressure. So I think all those sports really prepared me to play a sport in college. But I mean, there are definitely some disadvantages of not having a single sport focus. That's a big trend nowadays. But I mean, for instance, I just didn't have the picturesque tennis technique. Like my serve was not, I was embarrassed by what my serve looked like. And I think one of the reasons was I just didn't grow up playing tennis from an early age. Like I started playing tennis a little later in life compared to a lot of my competition. But at the same time, I wouldn't change that because I think the positive effects of that definitely outweighed some of the negative effects. I went to Hilton Head to train at Vandermeer Tennis Academy in high school. So I did start focusing when I was about 14. So I think those 4 years were pivotal and everything. But yeah, I think the reason why I got to the level I did in tennis was not because of my form and strokes. It was just because of my athleticism. And I can thank all the sports that my parents put me in growing up.
Well, yeah, I really thought that probably had a lot to do with it just because, you know, being that versatile. And like you said, each sport teaches you something different, and then you could kind of bring it in, and then you zone in for like 4 years on one sport. Like, it's really amazing what you've accomplished, and then like how much that has played into probably a role where you are now in your life as a coach. Right. So, and pursuing other sports as an adult, which kind of gets me into the next question. I know you're an accomplished athlete. You've got a list of achievements. I mean, we could just go on and on if I just read down the list. But they all include everything from marathons to triathlons to Ironman competitions. When did you get started on all of that? So when tennis was done, when you were finished there, when did this other, you know, pick up for you?
So after tennis was done, after I finished my college experience, I went straight to grad school, and I was in an intense internship all day, and then I had a 45 to 60 minute break, and then I had to go straight to class. And so it was just such an intense schedule. I was like, I need to exercise and relieve stress. So I would just run for efficiency, and I just really fell in love with running. But then it was my first year of teaching, I was like, I want to have a purpose behind this running. I don't want to just run to run. And so, you know, being a competitive person, I guess, I decided to challenge myself to do marathons, which is just kind of ridiculous because the most I ran like growing up was 20 minutes. I thought 20 minutes was a crazy long run. So it's just funny how your mind can shift. And yeah, then I just loved running. And so I did a bunch of marathons and half marathons, and I think I hit like 7 to 8 straight marathon PRs and hit my goal of going sub-3. And then I was like, I want a new challenge. And then I bought a road bike and tried to learn how to swim and did my first triathlon. And then, yeah, so that's how it all got started.
Yeah, that's so cool. Well, and I think you're right. Like if you've competed at anything, or I guess grown up as an athlete or played a sport at any time, that never goes away. Like it never disappears. So you need to find an outlet for it. And it sounds like you found more than one. But out of all of these, what is your favorite? So like out of a marathon, a triathlon, and the Ironman, like which one of those is like a favorite for you?
That's a great question. I would say I do love the Ironman, which is a crazy event. It's 2.4 mile swim, 112 mile bike, and then a marathon at the end. I just love it because it's so challenging and just the journey is great and hard, and you learn so much about just how to overcome adversity and everything. But I would actually say I probably would pick marathons over triathlons, just because triathlon honestly can be very stressful with there's just a lot to do and manage with the bike mechanical stuff. But I feel like right now I am continuing to improve in triathlon. And so I want to keep doing triathlon until I kind of reach my peak. And then I see myself going back to marathons. But for right now, I really do love the multi-sport and all that. And it's just hard to dabble in both, like running and triathlon. Like I'll start my season with a half marathon, but that's because over the winter I'm out of shape. And that's just a good, easy goal to kind of just put something on the calendar and just start getting specific, like more into training instead of just exercising. But I would say, yeah, I just would probably say the marathon. I think that would surprise my sister because she does not like marathon.
I think that's interesting because I kind of almost assumed that it was, that it would be, the triathlon or the Ironman at first.
Yeah.
I did go back and like read some articles that were written about you and it said where you loved running. And so, yeah, so that really kind of goes along with what they had already written. So that's really neat to hear that straight from you. So you already kind of spoke to this, but you went to school, of course, on tennis scholarship, and then, but you studied to be an elementary teacher. And so you were an elementary teacher for 8 years, and now you're coaching full-time with your sister and helping others. Like this is all goes along with your passion of helping others with their fitness goals. But why did you make the switch? Like, what was it for you that like you were ready to switch gears? And then what's it like coaching adults versus children?
Yeah. So I guess ever since I was a little girl, I always thought I was going to be a teacher. I had this remarkable third grade teacher and she just inspired me. And so I, from that young age, was like, I want to be a teacher and inspire young people. And so that's what I did for a while. And I just loved designing lesson plans, differentiating instruction. I love my sweet children. They were adorable. And just, yeah, they're just such a great age in third grade. They're just little sponges. And yeah, it was just great, but I think I was getting burned out with a lot of the politics behind teaching. And so my sister, she just started her own company when she became a professional triathlete, and she kept asking me to join her. And I kept saying no because I really like structure and stability. And I mean, she started her own business and lots of businesses fail. So it's not like I didn't believe in her, but I was just hesitant. And I didn't know if I'd be a good coach. And so one summer I was just dabbling in it and I just kind of mirrored her and just watched her and started researching and taking certifications. And I really, then actually the end of the summer, I quit teaching and went full time into coaching, and I haven't looked back since and I've loved it. And it's just neat how so much of what I loved about teaching, it can be intertwined into coaching, and there are a lot of similarities.
I know there's a lot of similarities, but there's still differences just from an age point of view.
Yes, so that was actually something I was very intimidated with, to start coaching adults and working with adults, because even one year I taught middle school and high school, and I seriously wanted to cry every day. And so I was not sure I could handle adults, but I ended up, you know, going full on, and I absolutely loved it. And it was actually a natural transition. And the thing I love about adults is you can have real conversations and just, you know, it's more like a partnership. And I love getting feedback from my athletes, and I'm not like a dictator type of coach at all. So yeah, it works really well. And I'm just a compassionate type of person. I like learning about other people. So I think that's been a fun part about my job, and just learning how each of my athletes, like how their mind works and just what is best for them. And so I think it's just neat, because like everyone's kind of like a little puzzle to try to figure out. And yeah, it was actually a better transition than what I thought I would. I don't cry every night like I did when I was still teaching middle school, high school.
Yeah, well, and I think too, you have people that, as adults, you know, for us to show up on Tuesday night at 6 o'clock at the park, right, so y'all could tell us to run. I mean, people that are coming, like they come because they have a desire to do something or to achieve something, and they're looking for someone to help them. And so I think it's tremendous what y'all are doing, and just the little bit of exposure I've had to it. It's changing me. So like I have mad appreciation for what you do and the way you both do it in such a humble way. Like it's with humility, and at the same time, it's very powerful. It's like a quiet strength. That's the way I know to describe you. You're like a quiet strength. Like, you know, like just run that one more time. you're not screaming at anybody or telling us like none of that. It's just great. Such a quiet strength about you. And so I have great appreciation for that. And I know that all the adults, I'm sure, would say the same thing. So you're definitely doing what you're supposed to be doing, for sure.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. So this will roll into the question of, if there is someone that is thinking about doing a triathlon, but like, let's say the only experience they have is running, does age matter when, you know, if somebody, like, let's say somebody their mid-40s wants to try to do this, does age matter? And if it doesn't, how long should it take someone to train for that? Like how long would you tell someone to allow themselves before, you know, because back in the day with like fitness, we would pick a show and then you back out and you train for that. Do you treat this sport the same way?
Right. So I would say, I think it's great for people like a runner, for instance, that maybe they're getting bored running and they want a new challenge, and they might think, well, I don't really know how to swim or bike. I mean, I think it all, go for it. And it's good to do things that are a little bit uncomfortable. And there's just, especially when you have that like athleticism, you can definitely pick it up. And there's ways to pick up a new sport, whether it's starting with spin classes or cycle classes, or if you have access to a bike and buying a bike trainer where you can put your bike on so you feel safe and all that. So I think those are all great tools to get started, and just like getting in a nice community is very helpful and everything. And just, and I would say age definitely doesn't matter when you start. Like for instance, my sister has an athlete out of Minnesota who started triathlon at age 70, and at the age of 75, he qualified for the world championships. And so that's so impressive, you know. But, and I mean, I think it's different as you age. Like the thing is, consistency really matters, and you want to just focus on the injury prevention. So it's important to make sure you're definitely recovering between sessions. And also I've noticed that there's a lot of people think, oh, the older you get, you can't handle the intensity. And I definitely disagree with that. And I think there's a lot of research backing that up. I mean, they've even done a study with comparing like 6 months of aerobic based type of training and then 6 months of high intensity training, and the VO2 max, like, you know, really increased. And this is with people in their 60s. It really increased with that high intensity. And the thing is, I think that is a way to continue to grow and develop and everything. So I am definitely a proponent of continuing to do new things as you age. And I don't think you're too old. And I think if you have just, if it's a healthy lifestyle choice, jumping into triathlon is good. You don't even have to compete, but just like the cross training benefits of the biking and running are so good because it's less pounding of the pavement. But then also being, if you want to be a competitive athlete, I think that's great. And I would say if you are a strong runner, but have limited background in swimming or biking, you could do like a sprint triathlon in 8 weeks, or you could, but I would say for a half marathon, like the longer distance, I would go for maybe the second season and do like a big, like 20 to 24 week plan where you establish a good base and then you go through eventually like more race specificity. But yeah, I'm all for doing hard things and new things and keep challenging yourself.
That's awesome. I think that this is a big thing. People are looking for ways to challenge themselves. And I think there's something about that. And I know for myself, even like looking at that at some point and trying to push myself to do one. But knowing like how, you know, having like a realistic viewpoint of, like you said, the consistency, having a plan, a training plan, and allowing yourself the time to get there, whether you're doing it just to finish it or doing it to compete, like it's important to have that. And that's where you really come in as a coach and can help somebody set that.
For sure. Yeah. I just think it should be a process too. It depends on people's current fitness level, their past, you know, athletic history and their goals and everything. But yeah, I think sometimes it's easy to want that thing right now, but sometimes the best thing to do is just take your time building.
I agree with that. Everything, you got to allow yourself some time, like right. Time for each of those elements. Cause to me, there's a lot in each one of those.
For sure.
And yeah, a lot of times we want everything like right now, like, well, I want to go in 6 weeks.
It is so true. That's so true in life. Yes.
Okay. So you're a twin. You and Kelly are twins, and you went to school together. You played tennis. Like, you all are very competitive growing up as far as from the sports side. And I'm just curious, because I asked Kelly the same type of question, but did you ever struggle with self-confidence or desire to have your own identity?
Yeah, I would say my parents did an excellent job kind of helping us to be our own individuals growing up. And so that was great, but it was very challenging for me personally from societal pressures, because Kelly kind of was the leader and I feel like I always felt not good enough. And people would ask these questions that you wouldn't believe, the kind of questions that people would ask us. And it was just hard, I think, for sure, just what people would say, comparing us all the time. And so I think I really struggled with that growing up. And in college, I went to study abroad in Australia my junior year. And then I think that really helped me just establish my own identity. And then when I went into elementary education, that's where I think definitely, yeah, just something different than Kelly. But, and then just growing and becoming wiser and just being confident in just who you are instead of worrying about what other people do and say about the two of us. I think that took some time, but I'm at a very healthy place with that. And I feel like Kelly's always kind of more or less been there, but yeah. And the comparison is hard for, I think, women especially. And then just having a twin, it's just a constant comparison. But yeah, overall, there's so much good about being a twin, but it is actually very hard too. But I would say, and it's just interesting because I feel like one of the limiters I have as an athlete is I have a lack of confidence. And so I think that just stems from childhood when I just like never felt good enough and all that kind of thing. Like, it's just interesting how things kind of are manifested in different ways throughout your life and everything. And even though I think I'm getting healthier with that, it's just still, it still probably will always be there.
No, the struggle is real, because that's even, and you and I talked about this prior to the podcast, but self-confidence has been something for myself the same way, dealt with the same struggle in that sense of constantly having to prove, like, this drive to, like, well, if I just get to the next thing, or if I just prove this out, or if I can just, you know, and like you said, I think as women, we feel that pressure. Right. So it was important for me to ask you this, because it you being a twin takes it to a whole different level when you're talking about comparison and be able to, number one, find your own identity, establish that, and then, you know, self-confidence also along with that. So I appreciate you being open about that and sharing it, because I think it's a real thing. And I think, right. I think we all struggle with that to some point, especially now with social media being so, you know, we can daily scroll, whether it's Instagram or Twitter or Facebook, any of them, and you can easily find yourself quickly, you know, like, oh my gosh, like, I'm not this, I'm not that, you know? So I really appreciate you talking about that. And just to wrap up our conversation, is there anything else, like, on your heart that you would want to share with the listeners?
Yeah, I guess this, close to what we were just talking about, we're all dealing with the global pandemic, and it's like we're in the same ocean, but kind of, you know, going through the different waves of it all. And I just think something I've learned is it's not healthy to have, like, comparative suffering in a sense, because, for instance, I might be like, oh, I haven't been able to do my six of my races have been canceled, or, I mean, I'm single and it's like, you can't really date at this time, you know? And it's just like, but really there's people dying and there's people, like, without jobs. So then I feel guilty, like, of those things, feeling, like, disappointed in those things. But I think what I'm learning is, like, you can still have empathy for other people, but you don't want to just, like, stuff your own little hardships, what you're going through. Like, you kind of have to own them and then just, like, move on and, like, figure it out. And so that's just something I'm learning at this time. And also, just, you have to embrace where you are and make the best out of it. And it's just like, how can we become better through these trials and everything? And think, we don't want to just get through them. We want to grow through them and become better. So that's kind of what I'm trying to work on now.
Because that's really what it's all about, is being a little bit better every day.
Right.
I do have a fun question.
Okay.
So what is your jam? So if you are getting serious, like if you are in full on training mode and you are in a serious, like, space, like whether it's right before you go to a race or it's right before a serious training session, do you have a favorite piece of clothing that you wear every time? Is there a song? Is there maybe a quote, or is there a poem? Like, I don't know what it is. Is there something that's like your jam? Like, you've got to have this in order to really dive in or be in zone.
That's a great question. Yeah, I am very much like routine driven and everything, but I don't really have like a go-to song or that kind of thing. I do have like a little race kind of journal that I write a bunch of quotes and verses and inspirational things in there that I always read before the event. So that's helpful just to have a clean mind and get my mind ready to go. So I think that's something that I do before my events, so I can stay as positive as I can instead of thinking of, oh my goodness, what am I about to do?
Yeah, I love quotes. I love quotes, yeah. Thoughts for the day, like all of that. Like I have always write on post-it notes and have them up, or index cards, or always looking for things to think on too. So I'm right there with you. Okay, so where can everyone find you on social?
So our coaching is called Feel No Coaching. And that's on Instagram and Facebook and the website. And then my personal Instagram account is mphilno.
Right on. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. I am so glad that you were able to make the time for this. And thank you all for listening and for joining in today to the SweatNet Be Amazing podcast. If you've enjoyed the podcast, like it, share it, share it with your friends, family, whoever you know. You can find more information about the SweatNet on sweatnet.com and on the Instagram at SweatNetCharlotte. You can follow me on Instagram at @itsealsmart. Tune in next week for our next episode of SweatNet Be Amazing podcast.